This is the Faith Debate, a theological roundtable gab fest with the Mixed Master as the master of ceremonies and the notorious Triple B, the big bridge builder. Can we build it? Yes, we can. The Faith Debate is a free-for-all forum.
Hoo-ah!
Where faith community leaders wrestle over the truth.
Yabba-dabba-doo.
In less than 30 minutes, learn more about what really matters than others learn in a month.
Ooh, how convenient.
Are you ready for a clash of ideas? Are you ready for the sound of freedom?
Let's get it!
Let's get ready to rumble.
Ah, yeah.
In this corner, weighing in with a Master of Divinity from Reformed Theological Seminary, the Faith Debate Master of Ceremonies, Troy Skinner.
Got a moron here, is that it?
And in this corner, weighing in as a pastor, teacher, and founder of Bridges, connecting needs and resources in the local community,
ooh, mama,
the notorious Big Bridge Builder, John Switzer.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Woke church, critical race theory, intersectionality, white privilege, Black Lives Matter, white fragility, ethnic Gnosticism, neo-Marxist black liberation theology, postmodern cultural Marxism, identity politics, social justice warriors, systemic racism, LGBTQ plus rights, and so many more. New words and phrases have entered our newscasts and entered many pulpits. There are so many different labels because there is so much complexity to how we got here. And some people prefer certain descriptors, much to the disdain of others who prefer their own certain descriptors. But call it whatever you want. There is a new so-called social gospel, and it is viewed as an enemy of the one true biblical gospel by very many conservative theologians. And one of these theologians is Pastor James Pittman, senior pastor of New Hope Community Church in the Chicagoland area of Illinois, and he's joining us by telephone for the third week in a row on the Faith Debate with me and John Switzer. And so we really started to get into the meat of it towards the end of last week, what the issues, the core issues are that people are arguing. Debating? I mean, some people are arguing coming to grips with, trying to understand. I mean, Some people are arguing in an argumentative way, and some people are arguing in a kind of a classical argument way, and we're trying to figure out what is the truth. Well, people like me are trying to figure out what is the truth. I feel like I've figured it out, but doesn't everybody? That's the problem. And so we're glad to have this conversation with you, because you obviously have been wrestling with this with your boots on the ground, pastoring a church that almost left the SBC. And before we get too far back into the grist of the subject matter that needs to be wrestled, I do want to hear more about that story, because I jumped in on purpose to not let you finish the story, but I'd like you maybe to finish that story now. So a little around a year ago, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less than a year ago, you went on your YouTube channel, For Such a Time as This is the name of your YouTube channel, and you announced that you and your church were leaving the Southern Baptist Convention because of all this woke church critical race theory stuff that, in your opinion, is nonsense and an alternative gospel. And then you said you got a phone call, and then I cut you off. So,
okay, no problem.
So I don't know if you want to name a name, but was it a higher up within the convention that called you up? And you know, whoever it was, what did they say? And obviously, whatever they said persuaded you to stay. What was it that they said that made you stay?
The long and short of it is, someone in leadership said that the Southern Baptist Convention does not believe the things that are being said. To what my response was, but then how did J.D. Greer get elected? And so long and short of that is not too much came of that. There was a gentleman that I was scheduled to have to do a conference with. We're going to be main speakers at this conference by the name of Tom Askell. I'm sure he wouldn't mind that. And so we had a mutual friend. I emailed him, and I said, give me a reason why I shouldn't just leave now. And he said, give him a call, and I did, and we spoke for some time. And he said, it is his belief that the majority of the Southern Baptists, the churches involved in the Southern Baptist Convention, does not believe what is being spoken of by J.D. Greer. And he said, and the long and short of it is, if conservative churches leave, then we turn over the convention to those who are more liberal, and we turn over a lot of resources. And in doing so, we we harm a lot of people.
Now, if I could jump in, first of all, it's laudable for you you decided to stay and fight and be part of the resistant movement. If I were in your shoes, based on what I'm not in the convention. I'm not Southern Baptist. Once was actually in leadership. I was an elder at a Southern Baptist church, and I was half a dozen or so years ago a blink of an eye away from launching a church plant with the Southern Baptists in Frederick. So I know who they are, what they're all about. And, man, I'm not sure that I would have arrived as easily. Well, maybe it wasn't easy, but I'm not sure I would have arrived in the same place because you mentioned Tom Askell. Tom Askell doesn't agree with critical race theory encroaching into the church. You're 100% right, but I don't think he's a majority. And the reason I say that is he's got his founders ministry. So if you can, if you want to see what Tom Askell's all about, you listener, jump online and Google founders Tom Askell, and they put out a documentary. By what standard? Last year, that was talking about how Resolution 9 got passed at the convention in 2019, and it sure looked like Tom and his guys were a distinct minority. So for them to say, well, the convention doesn't believe these things, well, it sure looks like they do. So, I mean, so am I misunderstanding the majority-minority mix of views within the convention or not?
It's the founders organization, and there's something else called Conservative Baptist, right, that just started. Organization. So here's
Al Mohler snarkily tweeted saying, the true Conservative Baptists are the Southern Baptist Convention.
we'll see. And so the thing is, before the COVID thing came out, it was my understanding that they were going to go to the convention and get a true thermometer of how cold the body is, whether or not someone who is openly against critical race theory is going to assume leadership or not. That did not happen. And so now the thought is to wait to Nashville, which is the next year. Now, here's our thinking, right? Here's our thinking, Tom. Troy, here's our thinking. If we leave the Southern Baptists, where do we go? Who's out there a clear cut? Because I do believe that churches ought to affiliate with other churches. Churches are not churches unto themselves. It's technically one body. Even Luther didn't want to leave the Catholic Church, right? The Roman Catholic Church. So my thing is, okay, fine. If there was a clear denomination by which we could throw our efforts and time into a fellowship of churches, then we would have gone. But my question is, where do we go?
Is it too simple to say you spawn a new one? Like when the Presbyterian Church of America, the PCA, when they got formed back in the 70s, they left the PCUSA and just started their own thing.
Church?
No. I mean, a group of them who were like-minded, and it was it wasn't critical race theory, but it was liberalism, and it was about, I think it had to do with whether or not the Bible was inerrant and those sorts of things, I think was what was an issue, if my church history is correct. But, I mean, it's liberalism under a different form. I mean, the church is constantly beating back the encroachments of liberalism. And so I don't know. I'm not at that level of leadership. Sure. I don't understand how hard it could be to pull that off. I don't know. The convention isn't even technically it's a loose affiliation. It's like, I don't think the convention owns church property or anything like
that,
right?
And that's the thing. And so us leaving and going has nothing to do with leadership here, because the Southern Baptist Convention cannot come into Peloton and dictate to us. So our thinking is, if we are going to first and foremost make disciples here in Palatine and then try to have a greater influence through church affiliations, then why not stay with the Southern Baptist Convention and fight for biblical purity?
But in the meantime, are you making what do you call them? The cash donations, you have to make a minimal nominal fee payment to the convention to kind of stay in good standing. Do you continue to pay that fee in the meantime if you don't like where they're going?
The key word is minimal, and it is to the state association by which the membership is actually at least here in Illinois, where it's kept. So, yes, you make your minimum payment, and I know a lot of churches that have done that until they can clear up this shall we say, mess at the top.
Gotcha. Okay. And then you don't make any voluntary payments to that or the ERLC or anything like that. You just
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, that's a different show, but we've had problems on all three levels of the convention, and so yes, we don't.
So that's an ongoing question for any church, is, you know, what are the outer limits of unity, right? And I always go back to Beatitudes 7, 8, 9. Seven is blessed are the peacemakers; they'll be called sons of God. But there's two higher levels than blessed are the peacemakers. In those Beatitudes, and that is blessed are those persecuted for righteousness and blessed are those who are persecuted for Christ's namesake. And so unity is a very high priority in the body of Christ, but it's not the highest. The highest is the righteousness, and specifically the righteousness that is Christ. And that's precisely what we're fighting for here is how far does critical race theory potentially corrupt the clear teaching of Scripture in the clear presentation of the gospel. And so,
So this is a good place for us to transition. Let me reset again. That was the voice of John Schweitzer. I'm Troy Skinner. This is the Frederick Faith Debate on 930 WFMD, online at WFMD.com. And also, by the way, we're on the FM now, 99.9. HD2, if you have an HD receiver, you can hear us on the FM. Pastor James Pittman, the senior pastor of New Hope Community Church in Palatine, Illinois, is joining us. And we're talking about this critical race theory and this woke church, you know, the social justice stuff and the challenges that local churches and denominations are facing. And there's a battle, a civil war, really, a cold civil war that's taking place. And we're talking that through. And we started to get really into the meat of some of the issues towards the end of last week's show. If you missed that, I invite you to go check out the podcast. And now maybe we can transition into some of what that discussion was and ask for some clarifying statements and get into the maybe a Bible study even.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So you were starting to describe that, you know, it ends up being a different gospel that Christ died for systems, not for individuals, and that it ends up weakening, going soft on sin. You know, that certain sins aren't important, certain other sins are important. And so the question, I mean, there's a couple questions there. Is there a hierarchy of sins in Scripture? Like if you go through the Old Testament, clearly certain sins are considered like abominations worthy of death. Other sins, you know, have a higher sin offering that's required for them. Other sins, a smaller sin offering, right? So there's clearly something of a hierarchy of sins. And so the church engaging in a discussion about which sins are worse than other sins is not necessarily contrary to Scripture. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, but if you look at the critical race theory coming out of the secular, it's not that they argue about hierarchy of sins. They don't talk about it. They don't talk about it. It's those that are incorporating the critical race theory within the church. They now have to start redefining what sin is. And one prominent guy who is trying to do that says that if you are not opposing the system, then that becomes sin for you. I struggle to find that anywhere in Scripture. But so when it comes to critical race theory and those who are embracing that, it's not that they argue about the hierarchy of sin. It's being left behind.
So, okay, so I'm gonna push for a nuance here.
Cause, sure.
I know a bunch of pastors here locally that that have really embraced the critical theory, and my impression on the ones that I know well is that they're endeavoring to diligently stay true to Scripture, to preach the Scriptures clearly. But I do have concerns in certain places where I'm not convinced that they're drawing the lines clear enough. Mm-hmm. So again, coming back to corporate sin, when Jesus or John the Baptist says, look, if you're a tax collector, do it this way. I mean, a whole tax system can become evil. And the point is that the individual that is unjust needs to repent, right? The guy that has the authority that is handling things wrong is the one that needs to repent and start leading or doing taxes correctly. Same thing with, you know, masters you know, which we would say any kind of a business owner, you know, you're supposed to treat your employees correctly. The language that, or for that matter, husbands and wives, right? A marriage can be systemically wrong because it's being handled wrong by the individuals in it. And so all that being the case, and for that matter, Revelations 2 and 3 and Corinthians and Galatians, I mean, we have whole churches that were doing the wrong thing, you know, allowing Baal, no, it's not Baalism. I'm forgetting the term. Anyways, they were allowing the teachings of Jezebel in other inappropriate doctrines in, which meant that the whole church needed to repent, right? And so I find a significant amount of corporate repentance that is appropriate, where people in leadership need to address their poor leadership that's affecting the whole system, or churches, for that matter, the angel of the church of Ephesus or Thyatira that needs to repent and do things the right way. Is that accurate? Am I seeing that wrong?
Okay, so here's, you started off. You said a lot there. Let me see if I can backtrack there.
Yeah.
That's okay. When you say the tax collector, what was he repenting from? His sin. His sin and how he actually collected taxes. And if you've defrauded someone, go back and pay them back, what, four times? I forget exactly what the thing is.
Yeah.
But that's connected to his sin. A husband and wife who sins within their marriage, that's connected to what? Their behavior.
Right.
When you talk about systemic racism nowadays, it's whites who are now somehow guilty of past sins. Now, from a Christian perspective, if someone is racist, it's their sin, they need to repent. If someone does something or have an attitude of racism, they need to repent for their actions. The problem now is that you have systemic racism, which now whites are being, they're attaching guilt to whites, not for what they've done, but what ancestors have done.
Okay, so I do see some places in Scripture where prophets and even King David repents for something that happened previous to their being alive. You know, even Josiah, for that matter, when he goes and he's the king of Israel that was most pervasive in destroying all of the high places and all the idols that were in the land. Arguably, what he was doing was he was destroying the systems of false worship for the first time, right? We're told again and again that king, you know, repented, but he didn't destroy the high places. You know, the next king, he did this, but he didn't destroy the high places. Then finally, Josiah comes along, and he destroys all the high places, like for the first time, right? The system of both Judah and the northern 10 tribes for all those years had systemic paganism that was being allowed to continue. And so Josiah, yeah, the leadership was able to lead repentance, the guy that was able to, but he was leading something that was needed, that truly needed to be repented of. And again, I think I see a similar thing in Revelation where they are, you know, they're handling things with bad doctrine, meaning the system, right? We believe that principalities and powers, spiritual forces of wickedness, you know, and high places are the problem. Well, those principalities ultimately create systems of sinful oppression. Like everybody says, Hollywood is inherently, you know, sinful and full of greed and full of sexual immorality, right? Well, that's a system that needs to be purged, right? And so that means somebody needs to lead the repentance and the people involved need to turn to God in away from unrighteousness. So again, it feels to me like there is a lot of systemic sin issues that are addressed in Scripture in a way that are able to be repented of.
Let me say, in my opinion, that's apples and oranges. Here's why.
Yeah.
Josiah, what he did, the altars in the high places were presently there. So you wouldn't have took them away. In Revelation, you reference, it wasn't that it was worship done before in the past. It was present. It was sin that was taking place among the people of God presently at that point. So now let's bring that into the present. If you show me where there's Jim Crow laws now in America, let's stop it. If you show me slavery right now, let's stop it. If you show me anything else that is sin codified or in laws, let's attack it now. That's not what's going on.
And so that's what drives me to the issue of extreme secularism. It does seem to me that critical race theory is used by non-believers to push an extreme secular society.
No, no, no.
In the sense that what they're trying to do is they're trying to remove Christ and religion from the public square, meaning that they view the system that they view as being inherently wrong is any kind of Christian influence in society. And that is the point at which I have significant concerns with critical race or critical gender theory or critical any, you know, feminist theory, whatever it is.
And I hear you, but it's very difficult. It's not like us in the church, we can ever address people who are not the people of God who can care less about Scripture. Mm. It's the people in the church that I am addressing. It's the people of God right now who use those very Scriptures that you just brought up, right? The corporate sins. It's if sin is going on presently among the people of God, like Josiah, like Revelation 2, then yes, we are called to stop the sin now. And okay, that's what Josiah did.
So I agree with you on that. What about a church that that there was some church in the South that that had it was a white church that had very clearly used finances and monies that were how do I say extorted inappropriate, like they had the documents that showed that they had mistreated the African American communities and believers in their church in order to build it. And so they're saying, okay, it's right for us to make that right with those people here locally that we did that to. Is that so off?
So you're using you're using an example where there's a concrete example.
That's right, yeah.
In which people did concrete things. And let me tell you, whether they're white, black, Korean, or Asian, if you do that, you need to make recompense. How does that now translate into critical race theory of oppressors and those who are being oppressed? See, what you said was sin, regardless of the color of the people that were defrauded.
Yeah.
How do you now attach that to race? Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, just that in that specific situation, it was clearly white people as against black people, like it had a racial component to it.
Yeah, and it's wrong. And so the big problem I have here is that if you can attach certain behaviors to individuals, like Christ did with Matthew, right?
Yeah.
I think that was a tax collector you was talking about. I forget exactly if it was. Maybe it was Zacchaeus. I forget. Was it Zacchaeus? I forget.
Probably all of them.
Right. But if what you're doing is you're attaching behavior to that person, right, and there's a person in which you defrauded, that's sin. To bring a racial component into it, and now you're not dealing with individuals, you're dealing with systems and groups of people, and you're attaching guilt not to behavior, but to the color of one's skin, that is a different gospel.
Yeah, like when you described earlier that the only sinners have to be the ones that aren't intersectionally, you know, oppressed, meaning if you're black, white, male, then there's no way that you could not be an oppressor. But if you're, you know, black, female, you know, single, then you can't sin because you are inherently the oppressed. Like that, that would be a complete reversal of the clear teaching of Scripture. And so, so my point is just that I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Like, there's deep concerns that I have about critical race theory, but there's also these key places where it appears to me that that we should have the discussion, and I don't know how to have it without, you know, somehow embracing it, because it does feel like there's so many dangers with critical race theory.
This is the Faith Debate on 930 WFMD. Pastor James Pittman, our guest, will be back next week for one more round. John Schweitzer, I'm Troy Skinner. Find us online at WFMD.com. Till next week, 167 and a half hours from right about now. God bless.